The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Some woman know they boyfriend, got one or two sweethearts, but she ain't freaking out because she got a weight mind. Some woman know they husband, got one or two sweethearts, but she ain't freaking out because she got a weight mind.
Okay, first thing 9 a.m., the weight boyfriend got a checklist, wait for you to come sign in, then ask if you had breakfast. She probably gon' say no, even though her mind cook a sausage, bacon, egg, and grits. Weight mind made her forgot this. Lunchtime he gon' slide up, crack some joke inside her office, compliment but her bongi, say that look like the softness. Now it's 4 minutes to 5, he say come miss, let me hug this, then smell a sweet perfume, she say you know that I love this. So if she need a ride,
here right there,
shoulder to cry,
here right there,
100 or 5,
here right there,
and apple pie,
here right
so
there,
if she need a ride,
here right there,
shoulder to cry,
here right there,
100 or 5.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. That was Work Boyfriend by Johnny Cake. Johnny Cake got two new songs out right now. One is called Work Boyfriend. That's it right there. And the other one is called Long Island. Y'all got to check it out. It's a sweet song, too. Shine got new music, too. Lamont, Rashad Davis, he got new music, too. Judah the Lion, he got new music, too. These young people putting out music all over the place. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going to have a guest in studio, an older Bahamian, putting out new music, too. Well, you're on the clock with Aaron Green. It's Thursday, the 27th of June. I have Mr. C.A. Neary joining me in studio. It's not a Man Down Mashup Wednesday session, but he may talk a talk with me. Mr. Neary, I ain't played that song for you, though.
I was actually planning this to be on my phone while you were talking to me. I wasn't planning to talk today.
I mean, that's what boyfriends is do. But you ain't my work boyfriend,
no.
Buddy. No.
What type of benefits do work boyfriends get? I just need to know so I can tell my wife.
No.
No? I don't get no benefits?
Look here, you
need to keep this relationship to yourself. It ain't working out.
It's only me in this relationship.
Oh, gosh.
It's only me.
I know if I like this.
See, you got a work boyfriend, and then sometimes it's just nice to have a work boyfriend in your mind.
In your mind.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
It ain't real.
Yeah.
It's just pretend.
I have a good imagination, so I can have one or two people be my work wife.
Not
so.
You.
No, I can't.
No.
I can't imagine them.
No. You're imaginary and on lock today.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not allowed.
I can mean be his cousins, but I can imagine you still.
I mean, no, not me. Find somebody else to be your work wife. But the point is this, is that the role of a work wife or a work boyfriend.
We do this all the time.
I mean, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
From my cousin.
Yeah.
Who married to my other cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's... Let me get to the point. A work boyfriend or a work wife is a very important element in the workplace.
Is it?
Yeah, these are necessary. These things are necessary for good work morale.
Do all women, all men on the work job on a job site have a work boyfriend or work?
Yeah, everybody does.
Work, really?
Right, but all of the relationships are different, right? Like, some women have a work boyfriend and they treat their work boyfriend the same way they treat their home boyfriend.
Oh, that ain't good.
With a little disdain and disregard, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it builds morale.
Builds morale.
Keeps a happy work environment.
Okay.
I mean, I think. Because I never had one.
Mm.
A job, that is.
Yeah. So you can't.
To have a work boyfriend.
No, no.
Absolutely.
You need a job to have that.
Anyway, it's Thursday. I want to keep it a little light today.
Okay.
Mr. Neary. We do have some important things to talk about, but I want to keep it a little light today. Let me prepare you. I'm going back into that article that was in yesterday's Guardian, PLP ready for battle. And let's prepare it right now. The numbers to call 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. The PLP says they're ready for battle, and I would like to discuss whether they actually are ready for battle. Maybe they are, you know, maybe they are. I don't know. So here are some of the questions I'm putting on the table for the audience. At this point in time, it was that yesterday is the 26th, the 25th of June 2024 when the meeting took place. Who's the best performing MP? Which MP has had the best performance so far in the Davis administration? Who's had the most disappointing performance as an MP in the Davis administration, who's had the best performance as a cabinet minister in the Davis administration, and who's had the most disappointing performance as a cabinet minister in the Davis administration.
So the the MP and the minister is two different questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
In their capacity, some MPs are not ministers.
Okay.
In their capacity as an MP, mm-hmm. and then you can also assess them in their capacity as a cabinet minister. And then we have a couple of quote-unquote cabinet ministers who are not MPs.
Ah.
Halkidis and...
AG.
And AG, mm-hmm. Ryan Pinder, right? So what do you feel best performance? Or you can just assess an individual's performance.
Just because you said, whatever happened to John Pinder? Is he still in the PLP?
North Abaco?
Yeah.
John Pinder?
Yeah. Well, actually, I haven't heard about him in a while.
I haven't heard about him. I think I saw an article where comments by him were referenced because he was present at an event.
Okay.
But post the Cornish matter, we haven't heard much from Pinder.
Okay.
Absolutely, you're right. Almost forgot about Pinder. Basil McIntosh.
I keep on hearing that name. Who is that?
He's an MP. Really? I can't remember where from.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the third time I've heard Neem. And I said, which party is he for?
Well, he must be a government. He must be a part of the governing administration.
I don't know a McIntosh in the House Department at all. I mean, I can't see his face. I don't know of a McIntosh. But he said he's there.
But I don't know if he attends. We don't get the attendance record.
Okay.
But he's an MP.
Okay.
Is it too early to go into campaign mode? Is it too early for the Davis administration to go into campaign mode? Two distinct questions. Is this the Prime Minister's call, PLP ready for battle? Is this campaign mode or is it damage control? Is Davis campaigning within the party? Is this an attempt to quell or satisfy disgruntled supporters? Or defend off challenges? And then I'm going to pull some quotes from the article, and we're going to interrogate them a bit. I also have another story, Mr. Newry. I think I want to lead off with this one. MP recounts accident. This story is from the Nassau Guardian, 26th of June. That's yesterday, Wednesday. There is a sort of complimentary story in the Tribune. And it's not complimentary. The Tribune's also covering the story today. MP relives memory of son's death after accident. I'm going to read from the Guardian story. Recounting a traffic accident earlier this month that he said could have ended with his death, Central Grand Bahama MP Aram Lewis said today, he is grateful to be alive. Quote, had it not been for the grace and mercy of Almighty God, I suspect that today you would have been here giving tributes for the former member for Central Grand Bahama, Lewis said in the House of Assembly. Quote, and I can imagine that on Friday that a lot of good things would have been said about me in the cathedral, but as God spared me and I'm here today, I would encourage all of you, while I'm alive and I could hear it, to tell me all the good things about me now. Close quotes. I really expected him to say, while I'm alive and I could hear it, tell me you can drive safely. Tell me you're going to take... That's what I thought you were going to say, Mr. Lewis. Lewis said he was driving an 8-mile rock heading to a funeral when the accident happened. Quote, fortunately, I was not speeding, he said. Quote, I was taking the road... I was taking my time driving, and out of the blue, like a Hollywood movie, you can imagine an obstacle, a lamp pole, appeared in the road in your path while driving.
Wait, the lamp pole walked inside the street? It just walked inside the street?
It appeared.
The lamp pole just appeared mysteriously in the middle of the street?
Apparently. When we read from...
And does an MP say that?
When we read from the Tribune story, Mr. Lewis said he was on his way to a funeral in Grand Bahama when he suddenly saw a lamp pole on his side of the road.
He suddenly saw a lamp pole that wasn't there, just appeared on the side of the road?
See, he didn't say it wasn't... we presume it wasn't there, but that's not, we can't presume that. He didn't see it. See, here's my thing. I want to interrogate this story.
Suddenly?
Let me finish reading it. I want to interrogate it because I have plenty of questions. First of all, why is this story in the paper? That's the first question.
If you have invisible lampposts appearing and disappearing, it needs to be front page.
I can continue reading from the story. Lewis said he added that he had a split second to decide whether to veer towards incoming traffic or towards a lamp pole. Quote, as God would have it, it challenged the lamp pole and I was not driving in my small Dodge car. I was in an SUV. As God would put it, I intended to drive the car, but the car's computer went down. Only God. Lewis said his car went airborne and he struck his head. When his vehicle landed, it was wrapped in high-tension cables, Lewis said. Quote, I could hear the sound of the electricity crackling, but through the grace of God, the insulation protected me. He continued, quote, and I jumped out of the car onto the tension line without thinking. But again, through his grace and mercy, the energized side of the line broke away because of the force from the car. So when I stepped on it, it was pretty much de-energized. I would have been fried meat had it been the other way. This is one time I could testify that Jesus take the wheel. Maybe a typo. Lewis encouraged motorists to be careful when traveling and thanked members of parliament for their concern.
He said he was driving and Jesus took the wheel and he crashed?
Mr. Newry, this story concerns me greatly. First of all, see, there are two different headlines. The Guardian headline is MP recounts accident. When you read the Tribune headline, MP relives memory of son's death after accident, right? And say, listen, nobody is denigrating the minister. Nobody is making light of his experience.
You think something wrong with the story?
Something is wrong with this story,
sir. Just making sure it's just not me.
It's two separate things. This story, it's the first question is, why is it in the paper? Why is this news? We don't take this time to highlight the lives of survivors of other traffic accidents. I mean, we certainly only do it for politically connected and politically exposed people, members of the political class. So why is the story in the paper? If it's in the paper...
Aaron, some time ago, a senator told a story about him saving some people inside a pizza place, right? Mm-hmm. This story is similar to that to me. Mm-hmm. It might be a serious story, but the same emotions I got from when I heard that senator saving the people, I'm having the same thing.
I got you. It's a little wild. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Now, listen, I want to interrogate what's in this story. We're not interrogating Mr. Lewis himself. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. Hey, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
That politician, right, who talking about some kind of a miracle, he only looking for attention, man. The bottom line is, for him to get shocked from electrical wires, one wire ain't gonna do it. You need to make contact with two.
I got you.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Absolutely. See, I feel you now. Why people would have the same sense after reading this story from the other story.
And now, mind you, I'm not an electrical technician, mm-hmm. but I assume that when the wires are popped, the breaker or whatever, that transformer thing shuts down all of the electricity.
Not necessarily.
No, it still be.
It could be.
I don't know.
But here's the thing. Did the pole fall in the road as he was driving?
He would have mentioned it.
Don't necessarily say he would have mentioned it. Like, I feel you. This is, I presume, at least a month post the accident. Did the pole fall in the road? Did it fall as you were approaching? Was it already on the ground? See, because like lamp pole's supposed to be on the side of the road. That's not anything out of the norm. I'm going to go back to the article. He said he was driving an 8 Mile Rock. I was taking my time driving, and out of the blue, like
See?
A Hollywood movie,
See?
You can imagine an obstacle, a lamp pole, appeared in the road in your path while driving. There's something odd about this story. First of all, why is it in the, if it wasn't in the paper, we wouldn't be talking about it at all. If it weren't in the paper, we wouldn't necessarily know about it at all. What also troubles me is that this would have been a wonderful opportunity to put the spotlight on driving culture, a road traffic management, road management, and driving culture in the Bahamas. This would have been a great opportunity to raise a campaign about safe driving and better roads.
Is it that the lamppost snapped and was in the road, like laying down the road?
Right. Possible. Because maybe if the lines are still live, it suggests to me that the lamppost just recently fell. It may have fallen while you were driving. But let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, I'd like to challenge that previous caller. I think you need to make contact with one wire and ground. You don't need to be having contact with two wires. You just need to make sure that you're not on the ground, because electricity will travel from one through you to ground. So I think that caller needs to get that right. But there has been an anomaly that I'm trying to get to the bottom of, where I think somewhere on Collins Avenue, close to a school, some UFOs appeared, and there were coconut trees dancing in the road. And I can't get a police report to really give me some authenticity to that occurrence. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, that's a popular story. I tell you what, Mr. Levan Miller sent me to a place to meet a man, to ask him if he would tell me the story. But I never made it to that place.
Well, could you send me?
What is that historian name who comes with the newspapers? Wilson?
Ah, there we go.
He had the article and he read it.
I'm going to reach out to Mr. Arnold Rapp Wilson, local archivist, and ask him if he could resend me the images of the stories he has collected. I may even have him back in. We should have him back in again, and we could have a conversation about it again.
Well, there's a strong reason why I want that information, because anyway...
Tell me.
Well, because I believe that anomalies do occur, but sometimes it's in the imagination of a whole group of people. Sometimes it's real, because, as you know, I'm able to grow okra that is 13 inches long. I've never seen that before, and I read a story where a gentleman spoke to a tree, and the tree withered up and died, just withered right up, and there were no more, and it didn't bear any more fruits. I read a story where a guy took 5 loaves of bread and five fish, and was able to feed 5,000. So these things could happen. In fact, Aaron, if I ever get to see you, I will perform a miracle, and you will agree.
Okay, absolutely.
So please, I'll be listening.
This guy said he can remove the misery from my heart. I'm waiting for the moment.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you for calling.
If he could pave the roads, I'd be impressed.
I thought he was going to say, when he said a group of people can experience, right, the same anomaly, I thought he was going to start talking politics, but I really appreciated the call, and let us get together. I'm going to reach out to Mr. Arnold Rapp Wilson, local archivist, and see if we can put together a bunch of clips, a group of clips, so we could have this discussion with some historical or historic context. Let's go to the phone line quickly before I return to these questions. Good morning, caller.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Godly Davis talking voice along with you.
Yes, Brayman, turn down your radio for me.
Well, any justice law in this country are in.
Yes.
And are neary. The thing is, you know, those police in the House of Assembly, the majority as well, they got to realize that the House of Assembly for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
The police or the MPs?
The police.
Okay, the police who are assigned to government house. To the House of Assembly. Yes, sir.
The thing is, what they got to remember is that Babylon was carrying on, but Babylon fell. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And they got to realize that they operating as the beast. And people don't like that. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting analogy.
The house ain't always is not only for them.
Ah.
One day, they're going to be off the scenes just like Babylon.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Just like the beast. Okay?
Thank
so
you.
They got to stop acting as the beasts with human being, like I. Okay?
Thank you, Brandon.
Hello?
You right here? You right here?
Don't be putting me out the house for no reason. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
sir. Put me out the house for no reason. And that's the second time. Say it very much indecent. Now, when I say for no reason, right, they say I spoke too loud. The thing is, if I spoke too loud, the house wasn't in session yet. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if the house is not in session, who they think they are, they could just grab me and put me out and say I talk too loud or I spoke too loud.
I understand your frustration.
Decent, huh?
I understand your frustration, sir.
Anyhow, they got to, and the Prime Minister got to fix that.
Yes,
he got to make a law. Okay? So the people what comes to the House of Assembly, not those one what works there, what comes there, would know what kind of law that is there that they would have to abide by when they are there.
Yes, sir.
You see, and I like to have a book so I could study the law to see what kind of law they'd be, displaying.
Rules and procedures for House of Assembly and copies made available in Braille.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
I agree.
Even if it's in Braille.
Somebody could read it to you.
I could get somebody to read it for me and people could understand what's happening in there. They got to stop their foolishness, their nastiness.
Thank you, Bremen. I'm going to go now, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Newry, this is a very important point Bremen has made. I saw a video yesterday of three police officers trying to handcuff a man that they were detaining on Bay Street. These three officers were unable to gain sufficient control of the man to handcuff him. So their decision was to pick him up off his feet and ultimately they ended up slamming him down on the ground on his shoulder. And I'm going to ask this question. Have y'all stopped training the police entirely? Is that what's happened? Have y'all just given up on training them? Have you not told them that their job is not to treat every black person on the plantation like a uppity Negro? It is despicable. It is disheartening. It makes an old woman rile up to rage to continually watch police officers roaming around the place as if they have impunity, as if they are free to do whatever they want except the job that they've been assigned to do. It's frustrating to watch a video where three officers who obviously have no martial arts, no self-defense training, no training on how to interact and subdue detainees and suspects, continually not just breach people's rights, but risk their lives and risk the quality of life on a suspicion because they don't like how you talk into them. And I want you to know that my first encounter with the new road traffic police team, the guys that wear the long black sweaters, and when I came down Cumberland Hill around to, I was in Marlborough Street in front of the Hilton, and they were there in their tax collection exercise, and they waved my car down. I smiled and stopped, and I said, you know, officers, if you just walk right around the corner to Cumberland Hill, you could be writing three tickets every light cycle. And that young traffic officer's response to me was, Miss, I ain't just see you putting on your seatbelt when you come around the curve. Let me tell you how offensive and egregious that is. Let me tell you how you're supposed to get right up for that young man. But what I did is I told you my name and I told you go ask your colleagues if they think it was me you saw coming around that curve putting on my seatbelt. How dare you threaten me like that? Because you're uncomfortable in the moment with a citizen that speaks to you with a degree of authority that they are allowed to have. Well, what are y'all doing up there? So let's be transitioning from the Iram Lewis story, because this story, quite frankly, is disappointing, it's disheartening. I would have thought that Lewis would have taken this time to focus on the seriousness of road safety. We crack a little joke about the pole, but the question is, how are you not aware there's a pole in the road, and do you understand your obligations as a road driver? We are all glad you didn't die in that accident, sir, but you are not taking this driving thing seriously at all, evidenced by your retelling of the story. So let's go through this little traffic management thing dead quick, Mr. Newry, and then we're going to go to a Montague ramp, side bathroom, still not open, even though the bathroom's on the side of the beach, where the permanent structure, which should not be there, is, right? That's working. But the bathroom on the ramp side of the beach, where vendors are selling fish, serving customers, taxi cab drivers are bringing customers there, you refuse to open the bathroom. You've told the people that everything has been repaired, but you refuse to open it. Open the bathroom. Traffic management. Yesterday, here's what I observed. There are multiple intersections without power. Wolf Road, Village Road, Soldier Road, Burnett Road, Marathon Road, and the mall intersection. No police officers in sight directing traffic. Police officers are supposed to direct traffic when the lights are down. Somebody said, Aaron, you keep asking these officers to wake in the rain. The police officers, they work whenever. They work in the hurricane. They work in the hail. They work in the heat wave. They work when they're assigned to work. But here's my question. If three officers could body slam a man on the ground in Bay Street, I bet they could wear ponchos to direct traffic in the rain too. All across the United States of America, we watch officers operating the duties in raincoats and ponchos. I just don't understand it. Producer, prep the call. We can go to the call in a second. Two, traffic diversions and detours. Turn your radio down, caller. Why did no one think to warn the motor public the traffic was being diverted on Bay Street last night for band practice? If you had put a sign at Meeting Street and Blue Hill Road intersection, if you had put a sign at Blue Hill Road and the corner by C.R. Walker, people would have detoured. People would have made their way around. Why is the traffic signal at the stadium? Why is there a traffic signal at the stadium? And why is the traffic light at the stadium operating like this? That stadium road is a through road when there are no competitions, when there are no events taking place at the stadium. And why is there a traffic light in front of Margaritaville? See, perhaps of all of these things, let me tell you how offensive it is. It's 2024, and senior police officers have already come to the airwaves and told us that there are just some laws they're not enforcing. Yeah, we realize what the law is now, but we ain't enforcing it. Right? Officers are refusing to enforce basic traffic controls. Running stop signs, running red lights, parking on sidewalks, impeding the pedestrian crossing, driving with your cell phone in your hand. They're refusing. If an officer ever give me a ticket because I run the light at Margaritaville, you'll put up a whole traffic light for tourists with no consideration on the impact on wider traffic flow. But you refuse to protect ordinary Bahamians on a regular road, but you're going to enforce this? Good morning, caller.
I've been hearing to you, it's very good conversation. And seeing that you talk as we've done a show like this, first time caller, you know what's disheartening?
Yes, sir.
That I can't understand how come nobody's officers can see this, and the commissioner, they talk about loving the school children. Aaron, you know there's on Balfour Avenue, there's school, E.P. Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
On the back of that school, there's a sidewalk for the kids to walk. And I've seen this, and I've witnessed it, and I've tape recorded it. Opposite that, there's a club. And those drivers find it necessary to park on that sidewalk every single day. And I know you know about it. And those kids got to walk in the road to mm-hmm. get off the sidewalk because the vehicles are there.
Mm-hmm.
No officers would stop and say, no, these cars should not be here. I've seen off-duty police officers park on that sidewalk
yeah.
because they act like someone is responsible for them having parking to go into that pub. And I think that has to stop. You have to sound the alarm. Why are we so reactive? When a child gets knocked down, then they're going to do something about it. Put no parking signs, seeing that some drivers don't know that you shouldn't park on a government sidewalk. Put no parking there. That's right. That's a stone's throw away from the Minister of Education, our constituency office.
How a bar get next to a school?
The bar is right opposite the school. And you can't tell me, Ms. Hannah Martin, don't see that and say, no, this is wrong. Children shouldn't have to walk in the road. I mean, even though it's summertime, adults, children, everybody got to walk in the road because that sidewalk is lined off with cars because they need to go and have a drink.
Yes, sir.
Or buy a meal.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Roughly 50% of the cars I saw yesterday on the road, Mr. Nurez, on the road, on and off from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., right? So on and off about 12 hours span on and off the road. Roughly 50% of the cars I saw at intersections never stopped at the stop sign, ran stop signs. I'd say roughly 30% of the drivers that I observed had their cell phone visibly in their hand while they were driving, whether they were actively using it or not. Question, why is there no traffic enforcement in the staging area between the Fry and the container port? I mean, we just had a whole commercial driver's license exercise, and you should go and see the madness in the staging area between the Fry and the port. Let's go to the text line. Most disappointing cabinet minister says, hi, Aaron. He says, a triple tie for Waste MP, McIntosh, Cornish, and I guess Sayers. He said, it's a tie. Another text. Great show as usual. I could see this work boyfriend equals stalking. Well, that's interesting. There is that side of the coin. Great show as you, or domestic violence. Interesting, too. It's worthy of talking, right? Like, we should talk about it. Great show as usual. How does a car get in the air? Yes, well, since there's a pole involved, maybe the car got snagged a line, and then the tension in the line, I would say ejected, that's not the right, propelled it up. Somebody said, no, nowadays children don't watch kung fu movies. Question, are the police allowed to take your driver's license without giving you a reason, especially after running your name into the system and nothing was found? Like, what do you mean by take your driver's license? Like, just take it and confiscate it and don't give it back to you? No, they're not allowed to do that. Particularly because you're not allowed to operate a motor vehicle without having your driver's license in your possession. So what did he expect you to do? Just sit there and wait until they process something? I had a similar experience. Mr. Nero, you remember the day of the little mini Segway ride on Prince George Wharf?
Yeah.
I had a wonderfully terrifying experience. On that same day, my partner and I were driving north on Elizabeth Avenue, approaching Bay Street from Shirley Street side. And I had to veer into the right lane to overtake a car that just threw itself on the sidewalk. And a police officer stopped me and my partner. The officer had no ticket book. He had no radio. He had no bicycle. He just had his gun and his cell phone. And he took my driver's license and walked around the corner on his cell phone on a call and just walked out of earshot, out of view. And I was just stunned. So we go into a break. When we come back from the break, we can go through more of these texts. And then I told you all the Roy Bahamas Police Force website is back up. We're going to talk about Magistrates Court yesterday.
Bay Street don't shine as bright as you. I swear them too. I'd go to Delilah, try to think and clear the distance. Bombers ain't never reached, so now I laid it on my way to get to you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Stay informed with the Nassau Guardian, your news delivered. Are you tired of chasing down the latest news? Why not have it delivered right to your doorstep? The Nassau Guardian is now offering an unbeatable home delivery service. Special subscription rates. 3 months, just $44.80. 6 months, only $79.52. 1 year, an amazing value at $143.36. Your daily news fix all year round. Don't miss out on this opportunity to keep up with the latest in local and international news, sports, business, and entertainment. Subscribe today. Call us at 302-2360 or 302-2353. Our friendly staff is waiting to assist you with your subscription. The Nassau Guardian. We've got the news you need. Don't wait. Call now and let us bring the world to your door.
Current Cut Productions presents Papa Joe's Cafe. Watch Joe, the cafe owner, grapple with the grief and chaos of daily life. Surrounded by nosy cooks, a mouthy waitress, and a parade of lively characters. With themes of political satire, romance, and betrayal, this is a story you won't want to miss. Join us for an unforgettable stage play at the Performing Arts Center at UB on July 12th and 13th.
Can kag biwo medicala kifwete tetio nambay multiple service menu na Fortress Diagnostic Center, image sesa no fe. Mem bagay pou lot location nou yo, image na governor ni na kamakelo. Mem si nou ta bezwen yon radiografi, mamografi, ekografi, or escanner pou fam gwas, nou gen yo. Yon ekip komisyoner konsey radiolog, certifiye tout employer yo. Yo chak ak prop domen yo. Yo bay dokte ou rezilta ou nan 24 tan. Rele 328-81-57 pou randevou nan Fortress Diagnostic Center, lokasyon Kamakelod ou bien imaj nan Grosvenor jodia.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
If I take you out on a date, then we can't split the bill. No, telling you things that my father would say. I'm just keeping it real. I've got the juice and the Pringles, so bring your sandwich and we can make a meal. Deal. Haircut, old school, fresh print. She a girl like my uncle. She just wanna feel. My ting 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 ting. My ting 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 ting.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Now I told you, 99.99% of the time I'm going to play Bahamian music. Every once in a while I can play something different. That's a song called Ting Ting by an African boy called A-Star. The reason I played that is because ain't nobody in the world could be making a song called Ting Ting and ain't no Bahamian on it. And I offer this song to the music, cultural, creative community. Say, let's do an open voice challenge on this. Let's take Ting Ting back from our brethren. Enough. I mean, we may have gotten it from them, but let's take it back. Ting Ting is ours. I thought that was such a sweet, sweet song. It's a nice little dance song. Great to drive your energy up. Okay. Back to the text line. Thank you, Mayor of Grand Bahama. He said he's enjoying the conversation. Now the text, Aaron, you think police officials and traffic officials are organized. Once you accept the fact that this is the Wild Wild West, you would lower your expectations. Good morning, Miss Green. Abundant Life Road says digging, no sign. So There must be roadworks taking, maybe that roadworks taking place on Abundant Life Road, and there are no I bet you there are no detour signs, there's no traffic management team, there are no detour or diversion signs. They don't like to give us those at all. No, they don't. No, they don't. And so my question was, why are utility companies, roadworks teams, and subcontractors not using traffic management teams? Here's another question for the driving, motoring public. Are you not using your turn signals because you need your other hand for the wheel? I'll drop that one right there. And then the texter responded and says, yes, the officer took the license and appeared to be intoxicated. Where do I go to get this resolved? I tell you, first things first, find a lawyer, explain to them what happened. If you can't find a lawyer, if you do follow the lawyer's advice, if you can't, I would go to headquarters and then I would go to Complaints and Corruption Unit. I would document as much information as possible in a clear format. I would keep copies of that. I would present it to the police. This is what happened. And I obviously need my driver's license because I'm not permitted to be on the road without it. In fact, what I would do is I would go to make a police report. You have to go and replace your driver's license now, right? Go make a police report so you could take to road traffic and explain exactly what happened in the police report. But then also find a lawyer, get some advice. Mr. Newry, All of these traffic stories to lead us for a few minutes to talk about what happened at outside Magistrates Court yesterday.
What happened outside the Magistrates Court?
So what I read was that there was a shooting.
Which magistrate court is this?
Man shot in parking lot of court on Nassau Street.
This is the one next to the police station?
On Nassau Street. Let's read from The Guardian. Man shot outside court. Victim on bail on firearms charges. A man on bail on firearms charges was shot outside the magistrate's court on South Street off Nassau Street yesterday after he appeared in court, police said. Police identified the victim as Raphael Nimor. Deputy Commissioner of Police Lamont Delavaux said police learned of the shooting via shot spotter. The air left my body just now.
Wait, they found out about the shot. How?
Listen, the shooting took place on South Street outside the magistrate's court.
Directly outside the magistrate's
court. The Deputy Commissioner of Police said that the police learned of the shooting via shot spotter.
Not because they were standing outside or next to a police station?
He said police from the nearby Nassau Street police station and officers attached to the court found the man lying in the parking lot outside the court with gunshot wounds. So, we only have a few minutes left. I just want to say this. I am not surprised.
That they didn't hear the shots?
Not even that part. Yes, that part too. But before that, I'm not surprised.
That no police is outside the magistrate court?
I'm not surprised. If you have your eyes open when you're driving in that immediate vicinity, if you realize that the motoring public, some of y'all are supposed to be good, decent Christian people who go to church, just run the stop sign. Did you know there was a stop sign where Meeting Street enters Nassau Street?
No, I did not know.
There's a stop sign there. You wouldn't know because Bahamians just refuse to stop. And I wonder, how do they garner the respect of their children if their children watch them doing them things all the time? Anyway, that's not the point. The point is, you know, South Street, on the southern side of the Nassau Street Police Magistrates Court Complex?
Yes.
They don't stop at the stop sign there either. Right in front of the police station all the time. You know the road, what's that road by the cemetery on the west side of Nassau Street?
That's not West Street?
No, that's not. On the western side of Nassau Street, you know, to take you to Marcus Garvey Way or take you into Chippenham. The little road, they don't stop at the stop sign there either.
Yeah.
They just don't care. And then there's no police attention
is
to it.
Is that Quarry Mission Road?
Possibly. Because I have to watch I can't watch the road sign. I have to watch the road for people who just refuse to follow traffic controls. If you kept your eyes open when you were driving in that area, you wouldn't be surprised at something like this. Could happen.
I'm still shocked that the police didn't realize there was a shooting outside their police station.
I'm still shocked that we have high-profile cases going on. I say any case that involves a person on bail and firearm charges, there should be heightened security in and around the complex.
One would assume he was escorted by police in and out of the... the magistrate office.
Possibly. Magistrate, but mind you, it didn't happen inside the complex, and it didn't happen inside the courtrooms, mm-hmm. court building. Mm-hmm. It happened immediately outside the complex. And so my thing is, y'all don't have CCTV. You don't have people real-time monitoring the court, that area, so that you could get ahead of, you could be aware of things that may happen.
And remember, this is an inner city, a place where the commission of police said tourists should not walk and don't go to Airbnbs.
Well, no, you mean the Airbnb capital of New Providence?
Yes. And this was happening on that Airbnb capital of New Providence. The woman assumed they would have a strong police presence, especially if the police station is in the yard of the court.
Like I say, are we not, we don't have a heightened security plan for when high-profile cases, not just the cases that involve politicians and politically exposed people, but these types of cases.
But there shouldn't be no court in a residential area in the first place. Whoever made that decision made a poor decision. Now, in this time of these criminals seeking revenge, can you imagine if somebody decided to go on somebody's roof and say, I can wreak havoc on this courtroom from across the street in my comfort of my own home, and nobody could stop me because they don't know where it's coming from?
Mm-hmm. Somebody said, must see a silencer. We see with our eyes. We don't hear with our eyes. I mean, my grandma used to hear with her eyes, but she could hear what I was thinking just by looking at me.
Remember, imagine the short spotter can hear silencers now.
No, that's not. That's somebody.
The humor. I know the humor. Yeah. I guess that's my point.
But you don't have officers that patrol the entire complex regularly. I mean, you could change up the time. You want a little spontaneity. You want to confuse the enemy. But you don't patrol. You don't have officers conducting visual. And you know what? I'm not surprised because apparently officers on mobile patrol don't put their windows down when they mobile patrol in. You mobile patrol in communities, but you don't put your windows down. How are you going to hear my frail Grammy calling for help because the boy take her money and then give her the weed? How are you going to hear that? Help! How do you hear it if your windows are up? And I just wanted to make that point that I'm not surprised because the casual observer and critical thinker that travels through that area regularly knows that this is likely to happen. Anyway, it is 10:59. Again, Montague Ramp, side, bathroom, still not open. Oh, a very important message. Hannah, Hasty, Tyne, family members, we got 1 month until the reunion. And tonight, we're having a Zoom meeting. We're having a Zoom meeting, so I'm going to need you to get into the HHT WhatsApp reunion group. The HHT family is everything WhatsApp group. Or you could message 4557242 with proof of family membership to gain access to the Zoom link. We're all out of time. You guys.
When is the Hannah Hazy Time reunion again?
August 1st through 5th.
Okay.
Put that in your calendar. Because
okay.
He's my white cousin, not my white boyfriend.
Okay.
White cousins could buy you lunch.
Yes.
Anyway, you guys have a wonderful day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Neary is up next.
I deal with a mafia. Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Don't bother me. I deal with a mafia. Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. The energy don't lie.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.